guy writes me this morning, and what I'm greeted with this morning is, Martin, you look terrible. Oh, by the way, good morning. No, didn't even get a good morning. Martin, you look terrible. Thank you very much, my friend. Hello, this is terrible-looking Martin coming to you from my car again. And first of all, I didn't realize that this was a beauty contest. Second of all, every once in a while, I challenge God. Because I know that this evangel, and I know I'm not teaching our evangel, I'm teaching the circumcision evangel, but over the last year and a half, I have not let you forget our evangel. Our evangel comes with a power that is inherent in the message. And it has nothing to do with the messenger. And I'm proving that. If anything, I prove that. It's the words that have power. It's the truth that has power. So I could come to you from the Crystal Cathedral. I could come to you all polished with my three-piece suit like T.D. Jakes or my friend Joel Osteen or any number of preachers, and I could look good. I could be well-presented, and I could have a nothing message. So once in a while, I test this theory. It's not a theory. Because Jesus Christ said when he was on earth, by the way, I'm at the Walmart now. I'm the parking lot of the Walmart. You can't tell. When he was on earth, Jesus Christ said, no, I don't want anybody to stumble either. I'm not out to stumble anyone. I don't want somebody to look here. That's why I'm eventually going to get back to my studio with the camera. I don't want anyone to stumble and say, who is this guy broadcasting from his car? You're telling me that this guy is truth? And all the people at the cathedrals and the churches in the world, they're telling the falsehood, but every once in a while, it's good to be reminded of that fact. And Jesus said that if my followers stop crying out, the rocks themselves will testify to my messiahship. And they will sing my praises, said Jesus Christ. The rocks themselves, this tells you, that it's the message, not the messenger, because I would not know what kind of a messenger a rock was. So I can be sitting here to you, with you, you joining me in my car. We're having intimate moments here. I can show you the face of depression. Do you want me to show you? Here's the face of depression, is when you have a can of whipped cream and you just do this. It's like you shoot it straight into your mouth. Can you hear that? I want you to hear this. If you're not watching on the car cam, you need to hear someone squirting a can of Ready Whip directly into their mouth. It sounds like this. Hear that? Yeah, that's not a good thing. I don't usually do that, but that's my vice, you know. That's my vice. I don't shoot heroin. I don't sniff coke. But I do this with whipped cream. So anyway, it's not about me, is it? No. It's about the truth. So let us go on with the truth. Every once in a while, I just like to prove to you that it's the message and not the messenger. Where is Mount Zion? Mount Zion, many people think that it's a figure of speech for heaven. And this is where they get that idea. We're in chapter 14 now, can you believe it, of the unveiling. And I perceived, lo, the lambkin standing on Mount Zion, and with it 144,000, having its name and its father's name written on their foreheads. And I hear a sound out of heaven, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of loud thunder. And the sound which I hear is as lyre singers playing on their lyres, and they are singing a new song in the sight of the throne. This does not mean that because this is a heavenly sound, and a heavenly noise, and a heavenly song, does not mean that this event is taking place in heaven. Mount Zion is as literal as can be. And this is what it is. It is a prominence on the hill of Jerusalem. It's where David lived. It's where the citadel was, not the temple, but it's where the king lived. Remember, we're having a king's quarters and a temple because we're having the perfect combination of religion and politics when the kingdom comes. Mount Zion is the southeastern spur of the hill on which Jerusalem is built. The southeastern spur. It's a little outcropping of land. I'm going to tell you how significant that is in a minute. But yesterday I told you that I was going to explain read a passage from Zechariah of how this kingdom that's coming for Israel is going to be brought about by a newly constituted priesthood, namely the Melchizedek priesthood. I'm sorry, I went through that kind of quickly last night because I looked terrible and I felt terrible, to be honest with you. And Melchizedek was the name of a man. I don't know why his mother named him Melchizedek. Very awkward. Imagine trying to spell that. The kid goes in first grade and he has to spell his name. Or he has his name written on his mittens, you know. His mom pins his name in his mittens. And it's M-E-L-C-H-I-S-A-D-E. Are you kidding me? So the poor kid. That's not my fault that his name was Melchizedek. It's not my fault that there was a priesthood before the Levitical priesthood. But this allows a loophole, you see. This allows Jesus Christ to be a priest. He couldn't be a priest of the old system. The old system requires its priests to be Levites. Jesus Christ was out of Judah. And again, I went through that yesterday. I just love that truth. The law is going to go forth from Mount Zion. Paul reiterates this in Romans chapter 11. And it's going to go to the earth through the administration of the 144,000. And they begin their ministry. Not by some heady intellectual conclave around a conference table with ice pitchers of ice water and all the trappings that belong to the woeful administrators, presidents of the world today. No, they begin it by worshiping on Mount Zion, worshiping the Lamb. That's how they start their day. Worshiping the Lamb. God, I need to start my day this way. What's the matter with me? What's the matter with me? We jump out of bed. We try to make everything happen. We try to do our best. And all the time, we think that we can't miss a beat. We can't miss a beat. We can't miss a beat. When really, we need to start the day worshiping God, taking time to appreciate that He is in our lives. And boy, I'm talking to myself as I'm talking to you. Now, this is going to be forced worship. Things are not going to be perfect in the 1,000-year kingdom. But listen to this quote from Zechariah chapter 14, verses 16 through 19. Then I'm going to talk to you more about Mount Zion. I got time. Don't worry. Everyone that is left of all the nations that came against Jerusalem, all the nations, yes, anyone that's left, that's right, because there's only going to be a remnant of the population of earth left after the days of indignation. So everyone that is left that came against the city of Jerusalem, a quota shall ascend year by year to worship the King Jehovah of hosts and to celebrate the festival of booths. So the Israelite festivals will still be going on in the 1,000 years. People stumble at this. They have a problem. I've been asked many times, Martin, why are animal sacrifices instituted? It's for a memorial. It's not for sin anymore. It's for a memorial because the nations will be in the position then as Israel is now. Those were types. The sacrifice of the animals was types of the coming Christ. And by these types, Israel was to learn of her Messiah. Now, Israel's finally got it. Their hearts are turned to flesh rather than stone, and now they're going to teach the nations by the same means. And so the three feasts every year, Pentecost, Passover, Tabernacles, will be happening. Booths, another name for tabernacles. And it shall be that the families of the earth who will not ascend to Jerusalem to worship the King Jehovah of hosts, on them shall be no downpour. And should the family of Egypt not ascend and not come, that have none, on them shall be the stroke. Yeah, I might have read that wrong, but you get the point. T.D. Jakes would never screw that verse up. He would read it flawlessly, and he would have the wrong interpretation of it. I love it. I love it. On them shall the stroke come, wherewith Jehovah strikes the nations which do not ascend to celebrate the festival of booths. So for one thing, I dare you to tell your friends to watch this show. say, this guy's got the truth, and then bring him to this, what I'm in my car. Fantastic. Do it. That goes against what I like, because I would rather send you to one of my slick shows from my studio. I really rather would. That's my flesh. This is good for my flesh, because my flesh wants to be slick, wants to present, wants everything to be perfect, but it's not. So, this shall be the sin of Egypt, the sin of the nations, which do not ascend to celebrate the Feast of Booths. Either you come to the Feast of Booths, or we're going to withhold rain from your country. That's how it's going to be during the 1,000 years. I promised you that verse. I read it. My obligation has been fulfilled to you. Look at the contrast. Mount Zion. For one thing, we have a lambkin standing on Mount Zion with the 144,000. There could not be two more opposite things than the wild beast and a lambkin. Think about it. The worship of the wild beast is being contrasted here in chapter 14 with the worship of the 144,000 of the lambkin. You have 144,000, which is not many, worshiping the lambkin, and you have this gigantic horde of everyone on the planet worshiping the wild beast. Wild beast, lambkin. Wild beast, lambkin. Amazing. Ferocious wild beast. You better believe in the wild beast. It's ferocious. It's voracious. It's not delicious. But it is everything that is opposed to the grace and glory of Christ. And Christ is presented here not even as a lamb, but as a baby lamb. A lambkin is a baby lamb. It's a little lamb. So the contrast really is as great as can be. And God always has a remnant. In spite of the overwhelming apostasy, God always has a remnant. And it's a small remnant. Small remnant of devoted followers of Christ. And you're feeling this now. A small remnant. I'm telling you, today was such an evil day for me. I just like had this x-ray vision into the world. And I saw so many detailed problems and so many apostasies and so much unbelief, so much callousness, so much indifference to the things of God. And I was especially sensitive to it today. Thus this. And it was just pure evil. And I realized how badly Satan wants to take us down, you and me. He wants to destroy us. But God always has a remnant, so God's not going to let him destroy us. Oh, he's going to vex the hell out of us, but not destroy us. So instead of a monster more ferocious than the worst wild beast, we see a lambkin, a baby lamb. That's Greek for baby lamb, little lamb. Then there's Zion, the southeastern spur of the hill of Jerusalem. This is all the territory assigned to the lambkin and its followers at this time. Imagine that. Satan has the entire planet. In fact, the wild beast boasts authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. That's 13:7 of the unveiling. Every tribe, people, language, and nation. The wild beast says, I own all of this. It has the volume, baby. It has the quantity, but not the quality. Where's the quality? It's on a little corner of a hill, the southeast corner of the hill where Jerusalem is built. The whole earth is subject to the wild beast, but there is this tiny little spot. And where you are right now is a tiny little spot given to you by God. And we're a tiny little people. And true Israel is a tiny little nation. God did not choose the nation of Israel because it was great, because it was large, but because it was the most insignificant nation. And that principle does not change with our evangel. God chooses the lowly. He chooses the lambkins. He chooses the weak. He chooses to broadcast this message to you from the back of a car in a Walmart parking lot. It delights God to do that. And the secret is understanding that it is the message of the evangel, of the grace of God, of the power of God. That has the power. It doesn't matter who's giving it. A rock could do it. Anybody can do it. It's just a matter of being chosen. You are chosen in your little patch. And I'm chosen in my little patch. And we're a small company. And we are preempting in spirit right now the worship that Christ is going to get on the earth in the 1,000 years. We don't have to wait for that with our evangelism. We have it now. Thank you.